In a previous video in this series on ASP.NET authentication, we took a look at using the standard ASP.NET membership provider with a SQL Express database stored in our application's local app underscore data directory. That's fine if you want to do authentication on a per application basis, but there are lots of scenarios where that's insufficient for our needs. The most obvious of which is when we have a web form environment, and we want to have all of the boxes on that web form access a single SQL Server instance that contains the usernames and passwords for our users. Even if we're only running on a single web server machine, it might be that we want to let a user create a single username and password account and then authenticate against that one username and password for multiple applications on our web server. So in order to do that, we need to configure a SQL Server instance for use with the ASP.NET services, membership profile, etc. And also, we need to configure our application to specifically use that SQL Server instance and not the defaults that are configured in the machine.config file. So, to get started, let's fire up SQL Management Studio, and you'll notice here that this is my machine name, JoeStagner-PC, and you'll notice that I have two instances of SQL Server installed. I have the full-blown version installed as the default instance on this machine, and then I have a named instance installed, which is the SQL Express version. So let's connect to the default SQL instance on this machine. And if we expand the databases collection, you'll see this is a Northwind database. I use Axosoft OnTime for issue management, so I have an OnTime database. I have a pubs database. I have yet another forum installed on this machine as well. And we're going to right-click and say create a new database. And I'm going to call it ASP.NET Services DB. Now, I could configure the default database to include all of the membership information. In fact, you might want to do that. So, for example, in our web properties, our community properties, www.asp.net, etc., we have some dedicated machines where we use a default. We use the default database because the only thing that those SQL Server instances are going to do is service membership and profile requests for our applications. So you could install the schema that we're going to install momentarily in the default database, but in our case, we're going to create a named database and we're going to install it there. So we're creating a database named ASP.NET Services DB. And once we've done that, if we have a look, you can see that there are only system tables. We haven't actually created the membership schema yet, but we've created the database. Now, one of the things to note is that when you're running in on your developer machine in Visual Studio and you hit F5 and you run your application, you're running that ASP.NET application as the user that you're logged into Windows as. But when you actually deploy this application, you'll be running in IIS. You'll be running not as the privileged user that you do your development as. ASP.NET will run as network service, or really the account will depend on which version of Windows and IIS that you're running. But in any event, we want to create a service account, an account that's specifically configured to access the ASP.NET Services DB. And we'll do that by going into the security collection, logins. Now, the SA account is provided, but SA is a server administrator, and you don't ever want to run your application using SA. So we're going to create a service account that's specific to the purpose that we're going to use it for. And so I'm going to create a username, ASP.NET Services User. And this isn't going to be a Windows account. It's going to be a SQL account. So I need to provide a username and password. Now, I'm just using the text word password. I'm not using actually a strong password, just so I can remember it. So I'm going to turn enforce password policy on. You may want to keep the password policy in place, even if you don't enforce expiration. And obviously, it's going to be an automated user, so you don't want to force the user to change the password. Now, we're not going to install in the master database, but instead we're going to make the default database for this user the ASP.NET Services DB. Okay? So now I've created that user. Now I need to privilege that user in our ASP.NET Services DB. So let's go there and the Securities tab and select Users. And we'll create a new user. And we'll call it the same, ASP.NET Services User. And we'll select the SQL user that we just created. And because the services basically need to have full control over the data that's in this database that we've yet to provision, we're going to select the database role of DB owner. Again, in an application, you might not want to do that. You might want to have specific roles for read or write. But in our case, we're going to give this user unbridled access to all of the ASP.NET services schema. Right, so having done that, now we can provision the database with the schema. And to do that, we're going to run a utility. So I've started the Visual Studio command prompt. You want to be careful that you start the Visual Studio command prompt if you're doing this on a development machine rather than the Windows Vista machine prompt or your Windows Server machine prompt, because you need to run the utility that's located in the framework directory. So if you're deploying this on a, or if you're provisioning this on a server machine and you don't have Visual Studio installed on it, you'll have to actually navigate to the directory that contains the utility that we're about to run, which is ASP.NET_regsql.exe. So there's the utility, ASP.NET_regsql.exe. We're going to run that. Pops up, tells us, do you want to configure a SQL server, or do you want to remove application services from an existing SQL Server database? Remove can be useful rather than just delete the database, particularly if you've installed in the default database, but that database instance isn't just dedicated to ASP.NET services. Then you might at some point want to separate your application data that's in the default from the services data, like membership and profile, so that you move those to a separate machine. So so remove can be useful. So the server, we're going to go against the default instance, and we're going to go ahead and use Windows Authentication is fine because we're not configuring our application. We're just going to run some scripts that create the schema. However, I don't want to install into the default database. Instead, let's go down and select the ASP.NET Services DB. Click Next. It says, OK, we're ready to go. And we've now finished. Notice our prompt returns here, so we can close out of that. Now let's go back into SQL Management Studio and go look at the database that we just created. And if we expand the ASP.NET Services DB tables collection, we'll see that applications, memberships, personalization, profile, roles, users are all populated there. So the schema has now been deployed into that database. Now, we're ready to go, but we still haven't configured our application to use it. And if you'll recall from the previous video, by default, we pick up some settings from the machine.config file. So let's go ahead and navigate to the machine.config file. So we'll go to Windows, Microsoft.NET, Framework, version 2, config, and let's look at our machine.config file. So I'm going to open it in context. Context is a free programmer's editor. If you just search context editor, you'll be able to find it. Now, notice here that in our machine.config, we inherit this connection string for local server, as well as the membership, profile, and role manager providers from the machine.config file, and each of those providers is configured to use the local SQL Server connection string, which is the one that's defined here. Now, if we wanted to use all of the defaults for, say, the membership provider, so all of these were fine, we can just grab that connection string. All right, so let's copy that. Go into our application, open the web.config file, find the connection strings entry and paste that connection string in there. Now, there's one thing we have to do. Remember that the web.config inherits from the machine.config. And since the name local SQL server is already defined and inherited from the machine.config file, we have to remove it so it doesn't try and use the version that's created there. So we can say remove name local SQL server, then add name local SQL server with our own connection strings. So what we could say here is we're not going to use SQL Express. We're going to use the full version of SQL Server. We're actually not going to use any of this stuff. So let's get rid of all this stuff. All right. So here, let's say server equal default. Let's say database equal ASP.NET services DB. We're using a SQL Server authentication, so we'll say UID equals ASP.NET services user, and then we also need to specify a password, and we specified password. And of course, this can be encrypted if you're worried about physical access to the SQL Server by perhaps your own staff. That sort of thing will be covered in different security video later on in the series. So there's the connection string. Let's go ahead and save the SQL Server. Save the web.config file with the new connection to the SQL Server. Now notice, I'm still using the name local connection string, and I haven't redefined any of the providers. Now I could go ahead and do that, right? I could copy this membership provider into my web.config file, change its name if I wanted both to be available to my application, change the connection string if I wanted both connections to both a local version and an external version of the services schema to be available in my application. And you might do that because you want a single membership repository, but you want to use a different profile provider, and the profile provider will be configured to a local instance. And we'll cover that sort of thing in subsequent videos as well. So now let's go in and select website, ASP.NET configuration. In our case, we're going to select a single provider instance. So we've just configured the provider. We just tested the provider to make sure that the provider configuration works. Let's set authentication type equal to from the internet. Let's create a user. So I'll create a user with my name. I'll have to use a complex password. So I've provided all the information. Now I click create a user. User successfully created. Let's go over here. Now, notice we're back in our web.config file, and Visual Studio is telling us that your web.config file has changed. We would expect it to change because we just converted from Windows authentication to Forms authentication. And if you if that's new to you, you should look at the previous version in this authentication series. If we refresh here, notice we still haven't created an app_data folder. That's because we changed the provider to point to the SQL database that we just created. So let's go ahead and go back into SQL Management Studio, and we'll connect to the default SQL instance, hop into databases, look at our ASP.NET Services database in our tables collection. Now let's look at the data ASP.NET users, and what you'll see here is the user we just created. All right, so that's all we needed to do to point our application at a different ASP.NET services repository. Now, I want to remind you, even though that this works just fine, that there are a couple of things that we could do here to make our configuration even more interesting. So let me close out of those. Now, here in web.config file, one of the things that we might choose to do is, what if we don't want to use this name? We still want the local version to be available. Maybe we're going to divide our membership and, for example, our profile services. I can not do that, right? So let's call it, let's just create a new connection. ASP.NET Services SQL Server. Let's also hop into the machine.config file again, and let's pick up the role manager, the profile section, and the membership section. And we'll copy those. Go back into our web.config file, and down here where role manager is enabled, let's go ahead and copy those. Now we need to make some changes here. I want to change these names so that the old ones are still available, the defaults that are being inherited from machine.config. So let's go ahead and change those. The other thing that we need to do, of course, is we're creating custom versions here, so we don't want to point to the local SQL server, which is the default that gets picked up from the machine.config file. We want to point to the services database that we just created. So I'm going to replace the connection string of local SQL server to the one that we just defined here in our application. Okay, now let's save our web.config file. Now if we go ahead and run ASP.NET configuration again, go to provider configuration and select different providers. Notice there are two membership providers, right? So I could choose to use a local membership provider in my application, or I could choose to use the one in the full version of SQL Server, the one that we just created. Remember, we named that ASP.NET membership provider. I could also choose a different roles manager. So, for example, I could use a local role manager that's specific to my application, and those would be stored in the SQL Express database that's in my app underscore data directory. Or I could use the one that's in my that's in the full-blown SQL Server instance that we just created. So there's a good deal of flexibility, and if you think about multiple applications using a single membership repository, it sort of makes sense to be able to separate those things. So it's that easy to do that. If I were to leave the selection in place, then we would create the local SQL Express instance in the app underscore data directory, and that's where roles information would be stored. So hopefully, this is gives you a quick start on how to use a database for ASP.NET services other than the default SQL Express database that's configured in the machine.config file, so that you can point your applications to use whatever membership repository makes sense in your infrastructure.